Well done, choir. That song brings back floods of positive and wonderful memories of meeting God in prisons as we sang that throughout the prisons in Texas. An amazing experience for me. And that's what music does for us. It creates an opportunity to connect with God in powerful ways. And thank you all for leading us in that this morning. Today, we conclude our series entitled At Home with God, which is taken from the famous parable with so many angles, so many perspectives, and so many names: the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the loving father, the parable of the elder brother. We've explored those perspectives these past few weeks. If you've missed those and you'd like to catch up, we have them on our website, and you can look for those under our resources there and listen to them. Today, we're going to conclude the series by looking ahead and settling in to stay within this parable. Luke 15:31 from that parable says, "Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours.'" Do you ever wonder what happens after the parable is over? Parables like this one, to the characters, what happens to them, what they do, how they respond. Jesus often left the ending unknown in his parables, as if to say to us, now it's up to you to keep looking ahead, to complete the story, and begin to do some of the things today that need to be done in order to make that happen. Have you ever wondered what happens next in this particular parable? Do the brothers reconcile? How does the father's love change them and help them as they move forward the tasks at hand? As the party went on that night, did the elder brother ever join it? Or did he choose to allow his resentment to turn to anger or to hate? Staying on the outside, looking in, refusing to allow his life to be transformed by the Father's love. Moving into the future, constantly waging war against his brother. Or did, like we hope, did he eventually join the party, see his brother as the Father saw him, and fully celebrate their relationship together, and fully celebrate their relationship with the Father together? Was he able to settle in, to stay at home with the Father, making peace with the kind of love he has for both of his sons, even though both had their different ways and different methods of leaving home, leaving the Father? Did they end up living with one another in that awkward pose of measuring one another up as they went along the tasks of keeping the farm, dealing with the uncomfortable relationship that comes when you know you've betrayed another person, or that person has betrayed you, often both, because we often betray the ones who we've felt betrayed by? Were they able to work together despite their differences, their disagreements, their different methods of life and doing life, accomplishing the work necessary to help create the kind of farm, the kind of place the Father desires for the brothers and for all those that live on the farm? Moving forward into a household with all types of people, brothers, sisters, helpers, spouses, children, servants, all people with different skills and gifts and different perspectives. Excuse me. All working towards one goal given by the Father, to fulfill their particular task to the best of their ability, alongside the others who are doing their particular tasks to the best of theirs, in hopes of creating this farm, in hopes of creating this life that produces fulfillment for all who live there, and a place as close to what the Father desires as possible. Aren't we wrapped up in a similar story as Christ followers? We may be the prodigal. We may be the elder brother. We may be another family member. We may be a servant or a hired hand on the farm, trying to figure out who we are designed to be as a reflection of God, created in the image of God, an ambassador of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ to the world who needs to see Jesus desperately. We all have the opportunity to settle in to the way of the Father, to embrace His ideal for the farm. But we often, too often, desire our own agenda. What is fair and what is not fair? Who should be doing what and who should not be doing what? What would we rather be doing? What we think is better for us? In doing so, we dehumanize others for our own benefit, to the destruction of the utopian dream of God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. This parable is our story. And we must try to write the unwritten ending. We must move towards settling in to stay at home with God, with God's way, with God's ideal of heaven on earth. We have to do so, to partner with the Father to restore the farm, to restore peace as it was designed, God's kingdom, to recreate Eden. We all desire it. We all want it. We all strive for it. We were born with this innate push to recreate Eden in our lives. But this is where we fall short. We try to recreate it in our lives, which was the problem with both of the brothers. Give me my inheritance. Don't share my stuff with your son. You see, as long as words like my, mine, and me dominate our perspective, we will never discover the peace on earth that we were designed for. We have a high need for fairness and for things that benefit us because we think if we can make ourselves happy, then the world is right. Or at best, if we can make ourselves happy, then we can make others happy through our own happiness. But that's not the way it works. Which is evident by the Father's reaction to both of His sons. All I have is yours. You are loved, no matter how you left home. How often do we treat others in our lives with the same love and grace? Better yet, what would happen if we did? Do you know why God wants to love us unconditionally? Because it helps fulfill what we were created for, who we are in Christ, our best selves, existing to help others, to love others, to bring humanity to the world around us. That is God's will for you, for me, for us. And I can provide you with several therapeutic approaches and counseling that would tell you the very same thing. If you want to be well, if you want to be whole, this is God's will for your life. You'll find fulfillment in loving others unconditionally, in serving others, in calling out and righting in societal injustices. That is the way of Jesus. That is the work of the Father. It is how we settle in to stay at home with God. Do you struggle with depression? Continue to serve. Serve others in need, and you'll find joy. Struggle with anxiety? Continue to find things each day for which to be grateful, and you will find God's presence, God's peace in your life. Having difficulty with other people? Find space to be vulnerable, to love and forgive without demanding it in return. These are the ways of the Father. And we have to make peace with those in order to write the ending to this parable that restores the father's relationship with the sons and the farm in which they lived and worked and made their lives. It's our story. The next thing we have to do is to learn to be at peace with the fact that you live with people that make you uncomfortable. How many of you have someone in your life right now that you would like to see leave it? Go ahead. Raise your hands. I got several. But that's not the way of the Father. If we are making peace with God's ways, we can't avoid these people. We can't send them away. We have to celebrate with them. We have to celebrate them. We have to celebrate who God created them to be, created in God's image, and help them if they have lost sight of it by showing them the love the Father showed His sons, even if they don't want to join the party. That's tough. But when we approach others with grace and vulnerability like the Father, it's amazing what happens to the world around you. Do you know what I mean when I say vulnerability? Giving the idea how to make that real in your life? Jesus gives us a great example of this on the cross. When others were whipping Him, ripping His flesh from His body, spitting on Him, mocking Him, nailing Him to a cross, He could have fought back. He could have stopped them. He could have won in the same way they treated Him. He could have treated them. But what did He do? Not that. Instead, He removed violence from the story, from the parable that we're living today. He removed violence from the world by literally laying down His arms. And He said, "It's okay. I love you. I am here for you. I understand why you are treating me this way. It's okay, Father. Forgive them. They don't know. But I do. And I will stay here with my arms open. I will love you even if you don't return my love." True vulnerability. How do you live that way? Practically speaking, vulnerability increases our self-esteem, ironically. It makes us more like Christ. It helps us become the person Christ created us to be. Instead of typically fighting others to win, to prove our way is best, me, my, mine, we're more vulnerable, and we will discover our true self. Has anyone seen the movie Wonder? There's a line in it. If you're in any of the Halls school districts, you've heard this line. There's a line in it that says, "When given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind." That's vulnerability. In marriage counseling, I use a similar phrase with folks. You're going to fight. It's a part of being human. But when you do, you don't have to win. In fact, it's better if you don't. Vulnerability. Instead, choose to listen. Choose to understand and hear people why and how they are the way they are. Through vulnerability, choose kind, choose love, the Father's love, even if they don't choose to do likewise. Remove violence from the equation. Remove resentment and hate and vindictiveness. Remove the need to be right and the need for things to be fair, the me, my, mine, out of your language. If you do, you will find home. You will find God. You will find the Father's love, and you in turn will be able to pass it along to others. Settling in to stay at home with God requires making peace with God's ways. That we are all a part of a much larger party, a much larger farm that involves all sorts of people doing the work of the Father in their space, that may not do it the way we do it, that may not look the way we look, that may not live the way we live, but in their space, that when they are done, their work is being done, it moves fluidly alongside the work of others being done. This is the utopian society that we read about in Genesis called Eden. Walking alongside God, walking alongside others, creating this place of peace where God's love and presence overwhelms us. When we do this, we find that God's kingdom can come on earth around us. We find fulfillment in life. Jesus told parables in order to get the attention of the listener, to shake up the assumptions about the lives that they were leading, and to give them a glimpse of another way of life with God and life with others. Don't let this parable we spent the last several weeks exploring fall short on the way that you live your life. Settle in to stay at home. Write an ending to this parable that brings peace to your life, to your home, to all the spaces that you occupy. Choose kind. Choose vulnerability. Choose to remove violence from your life. Choose to rid yourself of resentment. Leave any form of the word "my" out of your vocabulary. Choose grace. Choose the Father's love. When you do, you will find God's ways are challenging, but bring you fulfillment. So much love, joy, peace, and kindness to your life and to the world that you discover yourself as God created you. And that influences the world around you. Settle in, stay at home, and experience the love of a Father in a way that will transform your life and the lives of those you love, those you live with, those you work with, and encounter God's love along the way. May it be so. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these parables that you give us. Parables that have so much to it that it takes us weeks to look at, and we still haven't even scratched the surface. But God, as we imagine an ending, may we imagine that ending for our lives and the lives of those we live with. A life that is following the ways of God that create heaven on earth around us, that create a life worth living, a life that is being fulfilled as the way you've called us to be, created in your image, to be the hands and feet of Christ. God, whatever is in our life that is keeping us from accomplishing that, we pray that we would be so convicted and turn that over to you so that we may fully embrace these ideas, these ways that you've given us to be more like you and to make the world more like the world you want. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have a time of response as we do each week. We'll sing hymn number 68. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. As we do that, if you have something you need to surrender to God, do that as you sing. If you want to make it public, you can come here. If you want to join this church, you can do that. If you want to pray with me, I'll be here. Whatever you need to do to respond to God today. Let's stand, sing, and do that accordingly.